Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building one of the most effective transition tools in drum and bass, a retro rave jungle fill in Ableton Live 12. This is not just a random pile of effects. We're going to design a short, high-impact moment that feels like old-school rave tension meeting jungle drum chaos, then drops back into a modern DNB groove with real authority. The goal is energy, surprise, and that little flash of nostalgia that makes a listener sit up and go, "Oh yeah, here we go." In DNB, fills matter because the genre is all about contrast. The groove locks in hard, and then for a second, you destabilize it. That little moment of panic and lift is what makes the return feel so massive. So think of this as a micro-remix of your track's identity. We want the fill to sound like it belongs to the tune, not like a random FX clip pasted on top. We're going to build a two-bar fill using chopped break fragments, a rave stab, a short bass response, and a controlled set of transition effects. Then we'll shape it with automation and resampling so it feels printed, organic, and loud without wrecking the mix. First, place the fill where it actually matters, at the end of a phrase. In most DNB arrangements, that means the last one or two bars, before a new section, a drop repeat, or second drop switch up. Don't just throw the fill anywhere. Mark the transition point, duplicate the section if you need room to experiment, and make sure there's at least a little contrast before the fill starts. If everything is already full, nothing feels special. Now create a dedicated group for the fill. Something like Rave Jungle Fill works perfectly. Inside it, we'll use three lanes: drum fragments, rave stab or synth, and transition effects. Keeping these roles separate helps you stay focused. It also keeps the arrangement readable, which is a big deal when you start stacking movement and automation. Let's start with the drum fragments. Load a jungle break into sampler or drum rack, then slice it up by transient or chop it manually into MIDI. We want small, expressive pieces, post snares, kick pickups, quick top loop shuffles, maybe one or two accented snare hits. The idea is not to make a full breakbeat loop, it's to make a little burst of controlled chaos. On this lane, add saturator with a small amount of drive, around 2 to 6 dB, and turn soft clip on. Trim the output so the fill doesn't suddenly jump out of the mix. If you want more bite, follow it with drum bus. Keep the drive moderate, leave boom low or off if your sub is already busy, and use a bit of transients to bring the break forward. This is classic DNB discipline. You want detail, but you also want the transient to stay clean enough to cut through a fast arrangement. Next, design the rave stab. Use Wavetable, analog, or operator to create a short, harmonically rich hit. Think saw waves, a bit of detune, fast attack, and a decay somewhere around 150 to 400 milliseconds. You want attitude, not a pad. The filter should be fairly closed at first, then opened enough to give you that classic rave bite. For extra retro flavor, try a tiny amount of frequency shifter for metallic edge, or use Carasone Sambal very subtly to widen it. Auto filter can also be great here, especially if you automate it deliberately rather than relying on a free-running LFO. That gives the stab a phrased, intentional feel instead of a lazy wobble. Once the stab feels good, resample it to audio. This is one of the smartest advanced moves you can make. When you print the sound, you can treat it like a break element. Chop it, reverse it, pitch it, warp it, and recontextualize it. That's how you get more personality and less preset synth hit. Now turn the stab into a phrase. Don't just hit it once and call it done. Program a two-bar call and response between the stab and the drums. For example, put a stab on beat 1, then a short answer on the offbeat, then denser hits in the second bar, and finish with a reversed stab or a pitch drop into the next section. That little conversation between drum edits and tonal hits is what makes the fill feel alive. If it helps, think of it like this. The drums ask the question, the stab answers, then everything spirals for a second before the groove locks back in. Nudge some hits slightly late if you want more jungle swing, or a touch early if you want panic and urgency. Don't quantize the life out of it. Now we need low-end logic. Even in a fill, the bass matters. If you remove it completely, the transition can feel weak. If you keep too much of it, the whole thing turns into mud. So create a short bass response on a separate track. Use operator, Wavetable, or a resampled Reese. Keep this short and focused, a one-beat sub-drop, a mid-bass answer after the stab, or a brief pitch bent re-stab with mono sub support. Make sure the sub is mono. Utility at 0% width on the sub layer is the easy move. Add a touch of saturator for harmonics if needed, but keep it subtle. If the fill gets crowded, high pass the mid layer around 90 to 140 Hz so the low end stays clean. If the rice is getting boxy, use a QA to carve out some 200 to 400 HZ. The goal is not more base. The goal is a base gesture that makes the return feel heavier. One of the strongest arrangement tricks here is to mute the main bass line for half a bar to a full bar before the fill lands. That little vacuum creates tension. When the groove comes back, it hits much harder because the listener has had a moment of low-end absence. Now let's shape the transition with automation. This is where the fill becomes premium. Automate auto filter on the break bus so it starts a bit closed and opens up as the fill approaches. Automate the reverb on the stab so it blooms briefly, then snaps back. Use echo as a short throw on one stab hit, not a long wash. If you want a classic jungle lift, automate a reverse FX sample or a subtle pitch rise. You can even dip the overall gain just before the impact to make the return feel bigger. A useful stock chain on a transition FX track is auto filter, echo, hybrid reverb, and utility. Keep the echo short and focused. Keep the reverb high-passed so the low end doesn't smear. And if you're using return tracks for shared space, that's fine, but the fill's main impact should still feel mostly dry until the final hit. In DNB, space is powerful, but blur is dangerous. A very advanced move is to resample the whole fill group. Route it to a new audio track, record a pass, then edit that recording. Now you're working with a composite of the entire moment, which often sounds more authentic than separate MIDI parts. Once it's printed, slice the strongest one beat and half beat moments, reverse tails, duplicate a snare transient for a flam, and experiment with warp modes. Use Complex Pro for tonal material and Beats for drum slices. Then process the printed fill with saturator, EQ8 to clean out sub-rumble below about 30 to 40 HZ, and a limiter only if you need it to catch peaks. Don't crush it. You want the fill to feel like it was born from the track, not flattened into a brick. Now check the arrangement around it. A fill is only as good as the section after it. So after the fill lands, make the return feel bigger. Drop the kick for the last half beat before the impact. Then the hats right before the transition. Bring the main bass line back with a stronger first note or a more articulate attack. And let the first bar after the fill be slightly simpler so the listener feels the reset. That's the key mindset here. The fill should not just be exciting on its own. It should make the return feel more inevitable, more muscular, and more focused. Before you move on, check your mix discipline. Use utility to test mono compatibility and width balance. Keep everything below 120 HZ tight and mono. If the stab is piercing, carve a little space around 2.5 to 5k HZ with EQ8. If the fill is masking the snare, reduce some energy around 180 to 250 HZ. And don't let the fill win just because it's louder. The job is perceived energy, not raw volume. A few pro moves can make this even harder in a dark DNB context. Try muting the bass line for a little longer than feels comfortable before the fill lands. Layer a distorted mid-stab under the main rave stab and high-pass it so it adds aggression, without stealing weight. Use micro-edits instead of long fills. One ghost snare, one reverse tick, and one triplet hat burst can often hit harder than a busy 16th note roll. And if you want extra menace, try frequency shifter only on the return hit for a warped, uncanny edge. If the fill feels weak, don't immediately add more layers. First, reduce the groove before the fill. Shorten one decay. Move one hit a few milliseconds. Create more silence. In DNB, contrast often does more work than density. Here's a strong creative variation to try. Start the fill with a triplet feel, then switch to straight 16ths for the last beat. That rhythmic gear change creates urgency without needing extra sound design. Or try a halftime fake-out, where the fill briefly implies a slower pulse before slamming back into full speed. You can also make a snare stab hybrid by layering the rave stab with a snare transient so it feels more percussive than melodic. And for a more experimental version, resample the fill and break it apart with manual edits, beat repeat, or transient slicing. That broken tape feel can sound amazing in darker halftime or experimental DNB. So here's the big takeaway. A retro rave jungle fill in Ableton Live 12 is about phrase control, rhythmic editing, and FX discipline. Build it from chopped breaks, a short rave stab, a controlled bass response, and smart automation. Keep the low end mono and clean. Resample whenever the moment feels good, and always arrange the return so the drop lands harder after the fill. If you want to practice this properly, build three versions of the same fill. Make one dense and chaotic, one sparse and lethal, and one resampled and mangled. Keep each one under two bars, include at least one drum edit, one tonal hit, and one transition effect, and compare which version feels strongest in context. Then take the best one and change only the last half bar. That tiny final edit is often what turns a decent fill into a memorable one. All right, let's build it.